In the 24th chapter of Luke, we get the resurrection story. It says, "But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared." So they're talking about the women here. "And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went inside, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they stood by them, while they were perplexed about this, two men stood beside them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise.' And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them as idle talk, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened." Let's pray. Dear God, we come to you now, and we are so thankful for the empty tomb, and we're so thankful for what we find in the tomb, dear Lord, and what it means to us. And we are so thankful for your resurrection. We're thankful for your sacrifice at Calvary and what it means to each and every one of us. And dear God, we just ask that you continue to guide and direct us as a church and as individuals and as individual families, that we go out and we live the life that you have secured for us through your life, death, and resurrection. And we just ask that you continue to allow us to be your witness out into the world as you live through us and as people experience Jesus Christ in the first person through our living. And dear God, we just ask that you allow us to come together as people and as a church to go out and preach the word so that more people may find what is truly in the tomb. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And when we read the resurrection story, we're always so thankful that when they go to the tomb, they find an empty tomb and that there's nothing in that tomb, because what separates us from all the other religions is that empty tomb. And when you think about all the other religions and who they worship and who they look to as their apostles or their disciples or their leader of whatever sect or religion they belong to, those people who led them and have gone on and died, they are still in their tombs. But when we speak about Jesus Christ, there's a separating factor, is that that tomb is empty. And they have spent years and years and lots of money and lots of time and effort to go out and try to find the body of Jesus Christ, and every time they think they found a box of bones and all that, they always talk about that maybe these are the bones of Jesus. And the thing that they come down on is if they ever find those bones, then they can prove that Jesus Christ was not who he said he was. But that tomb is still empty, and we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, sent here to die for each and every one of us. And he went to the cross. He submitted his life to the point of death at crucifixion. And then on the third day, he arose from the dead. And that tomb is still empty. And we are always so thankful that when we read this story and we read about the women who come to the tomb, they find an empty tomb. And then they run and tell the other disciples. And Peter and John have that race down to the tomb. And they look inside. And they're always so perplexed when they look inside and they find nothing in the tomb. And that is the hope. And that is the story of Easter, that tomb is empty and they don't find anything but the linen cloths in the tomb. And that's great, and we love that. But I want to tell you that there are some things in the tomb. And if you look closer, and if you actually step inside and look around, you will find some very important things in the tomb. And the first thing that we need to understand is that when we look inside of the tomb, we find that creation has been renewed, and that we find that it is the first day of the week. And when you read the story of creation, we find that on the first day, God started to create things. And he also created man. And on the sixth day, he created man. And it is by no means an accident that God created man on the sixth day of the week, and then sin came in and kind of destroyed that imagery of what God created, and it stained us with the stain and the affliction of sin. And then on the sixth day, it is when Pilate presents the man, Jesus Christ, and then he is taken up to Calvary and he is put to death. And Jesus Christ takes each and every one of our sins onto him and marches it up Calvary, and then he lays his life down on the cross and he puts to death sin. And then on the first day of the week, when God originally started to create things, creation is renewed when a new form of life steps forward from the tomb, and it offers us the ability to be renewed as a renewed creation, recreated in the image of God, in the image that we were originally supposed to be created in. And that is all made possible because Jesus Christ gave himself at the cross. He was buried in the tomb, and on the first day of the week, he burst forth from the grave as the resurrected Jesus Christ, bringing us new creation for each and every one of us. The Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things that have passed away, and that the new things have become new. And in Romans 8, it talks about how everything was subjected to sin. Even creation, even our natural world was subjected to sin. And Romans 8 talks about how all of creation groans. It groans for the coming back of Jesus Christ. And it is so that even nature and even our world is subjected to sin. And we are so thankful that Jesus Christ subjected himself to the cross, put himself on that cross, and allowed himself to be crucified so that on the first day of the week, he could renew creation. And if you have come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a renewed, regenerated creation. And the Holy Spirit now lives inside of you. And there is that moment when Jesus Christ is with his disciples, and he's having a very intimate moment with them, and he's teaching them about the Holy Spirit. And he says, you will receive the Holy Spirit. And then at that time, he actually breathes on them, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And then that is an imagery of when God created Adam out of clay, out of the dirt, and he formed his body. And I imagine God holding Adam in his hands, looking at what he has created and how much he loved Adam. And then he so very gently breathes into Adam's nostrils, giving him the breath of life. So when they look inside of the tomb, they don't find an empty tomb, but what they do find is that creation has been renewed. All things can be made new. All things can be made regenerated. And that is because Jesus Christ burst forth from that grave on the first day of the week, renewing creation. The second thing that happens is that the exile is over. And when you think about what sin actually did to man, is that it created a vast canyon between God and man. And it separated us from God. Sin is a separator from God. And so many times we try to fill that void that we feel inside of our hearts with all different kinds of things. Some people go to chemicals, some people go to different kinds of things, but we all seem to reach out and yearn for that void in our lives to be filled. But the Bible tells us that there is only one thing that can fill that void, and that is Jesus Christ. And we know that when man sinned, he was exiled from God in such a way. And he was, because of the what sin does to us, it creates this vast canyon between God and man. And Jesus Christ is the only thing that can bridge that canyon and that can bring us back to God. And throughout the Bible, we read about the Israelites and how because they were sinful people, they were exiled from the promised land. And they spent all these many generations out into slavery and then out into the wilderness. And it is a representation of man's exile from God. And how the only thing that can bring man back is is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And in the book of Ezekiel in 36, there is this promise that God says, I will bring the nation of Israel back, and I will bring you back from exile. And we see that in chapter 37, that the prophet is taken out into a field, and the field is full of dry bones. Were they just bones that once lived and once had a purpose in life? They are now just dead, dry bones, and they fill this valley there. And that is a representation of where man is without Jesus Christ. A world without Jesus Christ is just a valley full of dead, dry bones. And then it says that as he started to preach to the bones, that the skin and the muscles and all the cartilage started to fill back in. And pretty soon these bones that were just dry and dead became living creations again. And that is the imagery of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross and at the tomb, is that we were dead. We were just dead, dry bones living in this valley, just laying there forever and ever. And then Jesus Christ comes to the cross, subjects himself to crucifixion, and then on the third day he bursts forth from the tomb, and it is bringing us back from the exile of sin. So the exile is over. We are no longer separated from God because of what Jesus Christ did at Calvary, and that he is the Son of God, the perfect Lamb, who sacrificed himself in our place and paid for the debt of our sins. The other thing that we find inside of the tomb is that death is officially defeated. It says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. If this were not true, then we are still in our sins and our faith is futile. But it says, but Christ has risen from the dead, and therefore the last enemy, which is death, has been destroyed. And it says, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? But thanks be to God who gives the victory through Jesus Christ. So no longer the greatest threat that hangs over man, our days are numbered, and that we are looking to the end of our days in death, that is no longer a threat over our lives, because we now have the pathway to eternal life. And when they look inside, and it is such an amazing imagery, that when they go down to the tomb, and you think about what that tomb represented and what it meant to them, it was to those disciples, think about that, how they felt when they were walking to that tomb, or those ladies when they were walking to that tomb, that they had put so much hope and faith. They had surrendered their lives to follow Jesus Christ. And they had given up everything because they believed this man's ministry, this man's mission, this man's words. And think about that when he was put to death on Friday night, how defeated they were. And think about the ultimate trophy of that defeat, the ultimate illustration, the ultimate sign of that defeat is that tomb that they laid Jesus Christ in. Because that meant the end for it, right? According to human terms. But on that Easter morning, think about how different the tomb, the significance and the meaning of the tomb became when that tomb is empty and there is no body lying in there. And the amazing thing is that Jesus Christ took the instrument, the very final piece of life, the grave, the tomb, and he turned it into the pathway to eternal life. And now each and every one of us has the opportunity to experience eternal life with him in heaven because Jesus Christ rose from the dead and that tomb is empty. And when they go to that tomb and they look inside and they don't find a body, they don't just find an empty tomb, but they find the virtual pathway to heaven and to eternal life. And the last thing that they find there is they find complete unity. And when we read about the end of times in the Bible in Revelation, we read about how John saw the old heaven and the old earth burn up. And then how a new heaven came out of the skies and a new earth, and it came together and lived and became one. And when you think about how much sin breaks apart families, how much sin breaks apart relationships and marriages, and how much sin breaks apart our hearts, and it breaks apart who we are, Because that tomb is empty, there is a complete unity in all of nature, in all of creation, and we will come together and we will live in complete unity. Now, when you think about what is complete unity, what does that mean? Well, when we read about in the Bible, the first church, it says that they were in one accord, which means that they were worshiping one mission. They were all on the same page. And if someone didn't have enough, others gave to make sure that that person and that family had enough. And they were always attending to each other's needs. And they were all bought into the same mission, that Jesus Christ was the resurrected Savior. He is the resurrected Savior. And they were to go out and preach that to a lost world. And everybody was bought into that. And everything they did, how they worked, how they lived, how they gave, it all bought into that mission, that they were to go out and preach to the world that Jesus Christ has risen, and that death is now defeated, and that your sins are now forgiven, and you can get the pathway to eternal life. And they were all bought into that mission. In fact, the Bible says that they were in one accord, which meant, and if you break apart what that translation means, it means that they were bound together in cords stronger than death. And you think about, well, what on earth could be stronger than death? Nothing escapes death in this world except Jesus Christ. And when we look inside of that tomb this morning and we find an empty tomb, it's not just empty, but there exists the hope in the beginning of a unity that will happen when the end of time is over. And when everything that was ever broken apart and disassembled by sin will come together in complete harmony and unity forever, when each and every one of us who live in this world today, you think about what separates us. We are separated by race so many times, by money, by our class, by our nationality, what kind of army we fight for, what kind of armies we fight against. And it seems what political party you are, what belief you are, what is this? Are you pro-life, pro-choice? You think about how everything that exists in this world, it exists to separate us. When you have an issue, think about what we do in this world. We have an issue. There's one side and there's another side. It is a separator that is always there, and it always separates man. And it keeps us from living in harmony and in love and in grace and forgiveness and mercy. And it destroys everything that we try to do here. And all of that is because of the relationship that we have with sin. And sin is a separator. It separates us from God. It separates us from life. It separates us from our mission. It separates us from each other. It separates us from harmony. And it separates us from unity. But if you think about what Jesus Christ did at the cross and how he burst forth from the grave, and when we look inside of the tomb, we see an empty tomb, but there exists the hope in the beginning of unity, complete unity. And thanks be to Jesus Christ that when this life is over and everything here is wiped away, we will all come together and for the first time ever live in complete harmony, complete love in heaven with each other. And that is all made possible by Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior. And the sign for that and the promise for that and the completion of that is found inside of an empty tomb. And so this morning, when we join those ladies and those disciples and we walk down, I want you to think about in your head, as you walk down, as you were so bought into this mission, as you were so bought into this man, and you walk down and you were so thought that he was the one, but he was put to death on Friday, and now we're walking down to the tomb because they said something amazing has happened at the tomb. And as we all walk down that path to that tomb, what will we find? And so many times we're so thankful when we read the Easter story, and it is just what we expect, and we love that we expect it, and we love that each and every time we read it, it's true, that we find an empty tomb, just like those ladies and just like the disciples found. But that is not what completes that story. Yes, that's a great part of that story, is that the tomb is empty. But I need you to know that there is something inside of that tomb. There is the promise of Jesus Christ. And what does that promise mean? It means that death has been defeated. You are no longer exiled from God, but you have the ability to be a brand new creation in the Spirit of God. And the promise is that we will live forever with God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, in heaven with each other in complete, complete, perfect unity. And that is all because that tomb is empty. So if you bow your heads with me, dear God, we come to you now and we are so thankful for the empty tomb, dear God, what it means to us. And we're so thankful that each and every time that we read the story, the tomb is empty. And we're thankful that we don't find the body in the tomb. We're thankful that after all the thousands of years and millions of dollars spent researching and studying and trying to find the body, that the tomb is still empty. And we are so thankful for that. But dear Lord, we're also thankful for what we do find in the tomb. And that is the promise of your love, your forgiveness, and your unity. We are no longer exiled people, but we now have the bridge that spans the void of sin that brings us to God the Father, and that is Jesus Christ the Son. And we are so thankful that we are a new creation because you have defeated death, and death no longer holds the threat over us, dear Lord, and we no longer live in fear. And dear God, we are so thankful that we have the promise of eternal life, living with you forever and ever in heaven in complete harmony, peace, and grace and mercy forever and ever. That is all possible because that tomb is empty of a body, but it's filled with a promise. For it's in Jesus Christ's risen name we pray. Amen.